Well, I mean, you know, we're all told that a name is specific for our salvation. Now, in order for us to recognize a person and a personal relationship with that name, because, I mean, if we didn't know the name, who do we know who we're talking to? Who do we know who we are trying to develop a relationship with and familiarity with that relationship if we don't know who we're speaking of or what we're speaking of? I'll tell you
well,
what.
Well, I kind of know where you're going there, but you have to be really careful of this. You know, my wife's in the other room, and I'll say this, that if she starts using my name,
mm-hmm.
I'm probably in trouble. She can talk to me without using my name, and the fact is the intimate relationship we need to have with Christ doesn't require a name. You have to remember, if you go back in the Old Testament, that the problem with wanting to know the name of God, which does not have a name. I mean, who named him? God doesn't have a name. His dad didn't name him.
He named himself.
Well, he didn't even have to name himself. He is who he is.
That's correct.
The word means. He has no name. He was the God with no name because he needs no name because there is no authority that named him. The whole idea of naming somebody has to do with having authority. I mean, Adam had authority over the fish and the animals, so he named them. Our fathers name us. Nobody names God. God doesn't need a name because he is the existing one. And so we don't need to identify him with a name. Yahweh, Yahshua, Yadevah, all these things. He is who he is. And we either know him or we don't. And we have to be very careful that we don't get sucked into this idolatry of names. A lot of people want to do that and they cling to that. To know Christ is to know him, not to know some Hebrew nomenclature that we place upon him because we have to have a frame of reference. When we really know him, that is our frame of reference. That spiritual knowledge of him, that invisible faith in him, is our point of reference. And that is stronger than any mental concept or knowledge. Because we become united with him in spirit and in truth, and we don't need to put this intellectual labeling on him. And I have no problem with that, but I do have a problem where we begin to focus on the images that we use to represent Christ and Yeshua.
It's not a matter of I have to disagree with you. I have to disagree with you on the sense that he had a son. And with that son, we have relationship with him through that son. Okay? Now, it would be just like if someone was to call me by a different name. I would be irritated.
Well, I'll bet you Christ wouldn't.
Well, and guess what? I'm glad you're appointing yourself spokesman, it sounds like. But are we to believe the scriptures? Or do we just disregard what Scripture has to say as far as the determining factor? Whose kingdom is it? Does kingdom have a set of standards that each man is to examine himself as a mirror? And within that prescription, who prescribes, man or God? I find it kind of interesting that he sets down a standard, and it's up to us to examine that standard, and examine that standard in relationship to one another.
Well,
so what
actually,
would be the point?
What would be the point of what?
What would be the point?
I have no problem with him being the standard.
But wait a second now. We're told
he's known by, you know, even though the scripture tells you he's known by many names.
They go big,
huge, long list.
And which scripture is that? Would you please point that out to me? That he's known by many names.
Well, that he.
I would like to know the reference so I could go look it up.
Well, get a concordance and look up Prince of Peace, and you'll see.
Oh, that's a title. That's not a name. That's a title.
that's
like president. That's like king.
What is and what the word name in the Bible means? Character and authority. So. When you're looking up that word, when you consider what the word name means, we have. have to look at that a little bit differently than we think of the word name in English. That word name is character and authority.
It's the same thing in English. Don't try to underscore, underplay.
No, it's not underscore.
The actual word name. Okay. Gregory was closer. He was closer when he was talking about the authority designation where Adam named the animals. Okay.
Right.
And as our parents named us.
What is the name?
But
what's
interesting is we see that the names change as well. Is that not true? Do we see that the Creator changes the names of those who are in relationship with Him?
Based on character and authority.
Well, based on character and authority, well, we see that Abraham might have one, not one child, and now he's the father of a multitude of nations. Isn't that interesting? And who decided to change Abraham's name? The Creator? The Creator didn't name Abram. Abram, his father did. But now when we enter into a covenant, when we enter into a relationship with the Creator, He's the one that gives us a new name.
I have something legitimate to speak. I spent a lot of years in a group that was part of the House of Yahweh out of Texas. You may be aware of that or not.
Can I ask who's speaking? Because I don't recognize the voice.
This is Michael. I'm sorry, in North Dakota.
Okay, go ahead. Thanks.
Okay, and I'm not sure who that gentleman that's trying to make his the name point is. I don't know who that is, but anyways, there was a lot of years that I seen things exactly how he's saying, and within our particular group, I've been to churches where women have long hair and they get this idea that somehow because they have long hair, God loves them and they're somehow saved from that. And the same kind of idea has crept into the majority of people's minds, apparently. They think that that we use the name of the Creator, so everybody here that around these parts, the whole state, is subject to somehow come here and learn because they don't use His name, we use His name. And somehow, like, they have this shoe-in into salvation somehow because they use a name. But the fruits of their life were showing something totally different. I've seen people that used a generic term like God and lived very righteously and did righteous things. And they had a righteous spirit that they held. And I've seen other people that have their rendition of what they think the sacred name is that were living very selfishly and very judgmental towards other people that weren't. Now, I'm not against my understanding of the names. I think there is an importance to people that think that there's an importance. I'm not gonna say that you shouldn't use them, but to somehow inflict on everyone else that somehow that's a prerequisite, I don't know that that's the way to go at all.
One of the things that I'd like to point out is that there was probably no one who was more religious or adamant about using particular Jewish nomenclature for God than the Pharisees. And the Pharisees were strict adherents to that idea.
Really? I thought that they were actually covering the name, the Pharisees were. They weren't using the actual name.
They weren't.
That's erroneous, my friend. They were actually covering up the name. In fact, they considered it blasphemy if you used the name.
To use the name spoken in general public, but they used it all the time. They used it in their writings. They wrote Yadavai with the actual letters. They didn't diverge from that at all.
Adonai is not his name.
I didn't say Adonai.
Oh, what'd you say?
Adhevahe. Adhevahe, the Hebrew letters. It's just, I don't have any objection to people using what they believe is the particular Hebraic pronunciation or the nomenclature for that name, but I can't be a part of imposing that upon other people because I know God is the God of no name, mm-hmm. and the only name they ascribe to Him simply means He's the existing one, therefore it does not need a name. We don't need to put it on His ID card. And you don't know him because you know the Hebrew letters that represent his persona. You know him because he is in your heart and in your mind.
That is correct. But at the same time, do we go by his prescription or by what we think? Do we go by opinion, or do we go by, or does Scripture have any weight at all, or is it Scripture at all?
As a point of reference, I wanted to bring up the reference that Gregory mentioned is Isaiah 9:6.
Yeah, wonderful counselor.
Wonderful counselor. Another title. Go ahead. Keep going. Everlasting Father. Another one. Another title.
And his name.
Time and time again, they're titles. And you're comparing them to Bob. You're comparing them to Tom. Matter of fact, you could call me Bright Counselor. That's what my name means. Brighton Counsel. That's what Robert means. Gregory means something. Michael means something. John means something. Jeffrey means something. We all have meanings because we do mean something. The name in itself is just a part of the character that we possess.
Bobby,
Our parents would have just said, "Hey, boy."
Bobby, you are being extremely aggressive. Can you tone it down, please?
Yeah, you're not even giving Paul a chance to speak. You're kind of overrunning everybody else's conversation here.
Well, a little passion's okay every once in a while, I guess.
And pointing it out is okay, too.
So. Yeah, pointing it out's okay, too. That's fine. Well, we got to work these things out.
Paul, you speaking?
No, I'm not. I just wanted to bring up the Isaiah 9:6 that someone asked about. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace.
Yeah, and I believe they're actually using the Hebrew word for name there in reference to these things, not just title. They're using the actual word, which is Shem, by the way.
Yeah, Shem.
If we are going to deal with the Scripture, then, you know, it isn't just titles. That is his names, and he has many of them. And so I'm following Scripture when I say that. And Paul just brought up the reference. So, anyway,
8034, in case you want to look it up.
So, I've got an article on what's in a name, and I explain how it can become extremely divisionary when people grasp onto these man-made doctrines that have been gleaned out of the Scripture and try to make those things central. And it becomes kind of a life vest or lifesaver for them to float in this world without true relationships with God. And that's okay for a while, but it should not cause divisions. It should not cause breaking up of the unity that Christ brings us by having his character written in our hearts and in our minds, not simply the identifying nomenclature that we use to make reference. It's our slipping into the intellectual approach to this spiritual relationship that keeps us from the fullness of that spiritual relationship. And all of us need, if we break our leg, we may need a crutch or a cast for a while. But if we leave it on too long, the muscles atrophy and we don't develop the spiritual walk that we're going to need in the days to come. So that's what I encourage.